All right, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Romans 12, 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Father in heaven, it is our desire that by the leading of your Spirit, we will glean, dear Father, from the Scriptures tonight that which you want to give us, knowing what it is we need. And we'll thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen. Paul warns in this particular verse against thinking too highly about ourselves, with an understandable concern to avoid pride, and as a necessary emphasis on being humble. The caution in Romans 12 and verse 3 is against being high-minded. You can read other scriptures that would lead us away from being high-minded. Now, there's many adjectives that are used in the New Testament to describe a Christian. Many terms that shed light on our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I want to look tonight at some found in the book of Colossians. So if you'll leave Romans 12 and go to the book of Colossians. There's actually five things that we're going to look at in Colossians, beginning in chapter 2. The first one is chapter 2 and verse 10, and that is, we're to be complete. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are complete in him. Now, complete in him. We're full in him. There isn't anything that's lacking. Okay? We're going to see a verse here in the book of Hebrews shortly that tells us that that everything has been provided. You're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, still in Colossians, go back to chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading at verse 15. We're again referring to Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, you notice there in verse 16, when it talks about his creation, it tells us that he is, all things consist in him. He created all things, and all things are by him, and that includes the dominions and principalities. So back in chapter 2, verse 10, when it says you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, there isn't a thing that he is not over. Jesus Christ is over everything. Now, that does not mean that he forces his way on everything. We know, for example, in our own lives, he brought conviction to us. He brought influence on our lives to bring us to the place of faith and salvation, but he did not force us to get saved. All nations and all kings and leaders in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the future are going to bow down to him, but he doesn't force them into that practice or position now, you say. But he is the head of all principality. So in verse 10, he tells us we are complete. We are full. There isn't anything lacking in him who is the head of all. Now, Hebrews, keep your place in Colossians. I'm going to Hebrews chapter 7. This is a familiar verse of Scripture. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Often quoted and preached on. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. To save them to the uttermost. Completely. All right? He completely saves. He doesn't partially save. He doesn't just get us started. Salvation is not a starter kit. He gets us started, and then if we do good enough, and if we stay consistent enough, and anything else you can think in that direction, well, then, you know, by the time we get to the end of life, then we'll have made it. No, he saves us to the uttermost. There isn't anything lacking in the salvation that he gives. That's what Paul's talking about in Colossians when he says we're complete in him. Now, the second thing that is unique, and I said I was going to give you the title, and I didn't do that. Okay? How unique are you? How unique are you? You are very unique. Okay? Now, sometimes somebody might say, yeah, he's unique, he's strange. I know, I've used that term unique already when I've met somebody who was very unusual. And I didn't want to say they were unusual, and I just say, well, they're unique, okay? It's not that sense that we're using the term unique. We are unique in our relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's in chapter 2, verse 10. Where we are complete in him. We have a unique relationship through our faith. Now look at verse 11, same chapter 2. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. This is not a cutting a part of the body as was the case in the literal and Old Testament practice of circumcision, but this is a putting off, just as he says, of the old man, the old nature, that which is attached with this body of flesh. And it is a spiritual circumcision, if you please. I want to look at a couple other verses. Let's go back one book to Philippians chapter 3, or go forward, I guess we would say. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, where Paul says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And he goes on to state that in verse 5, physically he was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, and he gives his big long pedigree, okay? But we, you see, We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. And it is not the fleshly, physical circumcision that anymore gives an evidence of relationship, but the circumcision of the heart. Romans chapter 2 and verse 29. Romans 2:29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. And so we find here, once again, Paul, in dealing with the subject of the Jews and their following of God and relationship to God, he emphasizes the circumcision of the heart. Now back in Colossians, verse 11, in whom also ye... Now who's he talking to? He's talking to the Colossians, to Gentiles. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. And he is telling them that they have a they were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. The priests would circumcise those Jewish male babies in the eighth day, but now here is a circumcision not made by hands, but by the Spirit of God. And we find indeed, if we go to chapter 3 of Colossians and look at verse 8, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Ye have put off the old man. That old nature, you see, was dealt with. When we got circumcised in heart, the old nature was dealt with. We have a new nature. And look at verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And so we are circumcised in heart. Now, that's a unique relationship. And that is, lots of people call themselves Christian. Now, I do not suggest you do this. But if somebody says they're a Christian, you could ask them, well, have you been circumcised? Now, you can understand why I'm saying I don't suggest you do that. But that would, and I don't suggest when somebody wonders if you're a Christian, you say, yes, I've been circumcised. But you understand why, with humor, I'm saying that. Because that is what truly makes a person born again. Okay? Because we've had the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to put off the old man and gave us the new man, which is created in Christ Jesus. And so we have a unique relationship as circumcised in heart. Then the third thing is that we have risen with Christ. This is still in chapter 2. Now we look at verse 12, where it says, buried with him in baptism. Now let me just stop there for a minute. The denomination that I was in, I got saved in an independent Bible church, and I backslid. Not because I was in an independent Bible church, but I backslid. When I came back to the Lord, we started attending a denominational church that family was going to by that point in their life. And when I was there, and that's where I got called to ministry, and I went to the denominational seminary for my training, and they were what's called Wesley Arminian in their theology. They believed you could lose your salvation. And they also believe in whatever mode or time of baptism you wanted. They baptized babies. Okay? I erroneously baptized babies. Because that's what I was taught. I didn't know what the scripture taught.
Amen.
And so they baptized babies. Now, later, when I began to study the scriptures and came to understand that the Bible does not teach infant baptism, in the process of studying it and talking with people that believed in infant baptism, what they explained to me was that, well, baptism, infant baptism, is like the Old Testament circumcision. Yeah, and I had a puzzled look, as some of you have had. And then they took me, you see, to this verse in Colossians 2:12, where it says, buried with him in baptism. And in verse 11, it just talked about circumcision. So you see, they did spin off of or take off of the scriptures that talk about circumcision and then include the subject of baptism, and they say, so today, you see, infant baptism is doing like circumcision did with the baby. And they did not have an answer when I asked the question, well, now circumcision in the Old Testament was just for the male babies. We've been baptizing female babies too, okay? And there is no answer for that, okay? Nothing that you can say clearly. I mean, they had things they said. And so, here in verse 12, buried with him in baptism, and of course, it's not just... When we are water baptized, we use the phrase, buried with him in baptism. The symbolism of baptism refers to the burial of Jesus Christ. And by faith and the work of grace in our lives, okay, we have received the benefits, the working of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's why we use the phraseology many times. As a person goes under the water, buried with him in baptism, raised with him in likeness of new life. Okay, and but it is not the waters of baptism that do any saving, any work of grace. It is a picture of our identification with Jesus Christ and what he did in dying for us. And when we put our faith in him, it is as if, okay, we died with him. And when I say as if, as far as God's concerned, we did die with him, okay? And so, goes on to verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. You see, he's writing to these Gentiles at Colossae. And the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And so, we are indeed risen with Christ. Risen with Christ. Now, you notice in verse 12, it says, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Faith through the operation of God. The effective working of God. Okay? if we can stay with that term, you know, today, Brother Dale had surgery on his left arm, okay? Right arm, okay? I had to stand the way he was, so I get the right one. He had a surgery, and the doctor did an operation on it. What did he do? He effectively worked on his arm to correct the injury, Okay? So in that sense, when it tells here about the operation of God, he effectively worked on us to forgive our sin, to give us a new nature, to redeem us, and there's different terms that are used. Salvation, I think of as the umbrella term. And underneath that umbrella term of salvation, you have redemption, you have new birth, okay? You have the circumcision of the heart. There's many things. Now, when I got saved, I didn't know about all that. All I knew is I was lost. And I knew that because the Word of God was preached that told me that, and the Spirit of God convicted my heart that that was so, and I wanted that condition changed. Now, I did not understand all that was spoken of and all that was accomplished. I learned that. And that's why we're told to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's so much to learn about it. But we have a unique relationship with God because we have been raised with Him. And the faith, you notice there it says the operation of God, Him, whereby also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. Faith produced by God. Now it seemed like your faith, when you turned to Christ and you put your faith in Him, and you were told to put your faith in Him. But you see, it was the effective working of God in us to bring about that faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is the gift of God. There's a great theological debates that go on. What is the gift of God? Okay? Is it grace? Is it faith? Is it the salvation? It's all a gift from God. He worked in us. You say, well, why doesn't He work in others? He'll work in everyone. However, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so it's open to whosoever.
Right.
And God will work in everybody's hearts. The fact of the matter is, when God begins to work in some people's hearts, they don't pay any attention to it. Do you remember how that was for you? There aren't a lot of people. There are some. There are some. And probably many, we could say. But I'm going to use this term. Most people, the first time they hear, they don't do something with it. Because they would have to admit their condition. And most people want to defend their condition. Now, like I say, there's exceptions to that. And if you meet an exception, don't think something's wrong with the guy. I'll tell you an example of that. Brother DeWitt was here, and he talked about the Buddhists, and he was out in Ohio, remember? And a Buddhist came in and heard the gospel, and the young man, I think it was, came and wanted to get saved and got saved right then, first time he heard.
That's right.
And you know, so somebody may say, well, how can that be? Because God worked in his heart.
You better believe it. Amen.
Amen. You don't have to hear over and over and over and over.
That's right.
You don't have to resist and resist and resist and resist. Most do. You don't have to. And so here we find that it was the operation, the effective working of God, granting faith and bringing a person to salvation. Now, the fourth thing is in chapter 3, verse 3 of Colossians. We are hid with Christ. Let me begin to give background with verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. That's our responsibility. if we have been saved, as we claim, then we have the responsibility to seek things which are above, things which please God, to set our affections, our desires, the things that we want, the things that we like, set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that we despise everyday life. God gave us this life to live. And so there's nothing wrong with liking life. I mean, you mothers, you know, you're going to do a good job being a mother. And father is going to do a good job. You're an employee. And so you do a good job for your employer. And you like life. People who like snow, okay, snowboarding, skiing, whatever, they like snow. Audie likes horses, okay? And so, you know, is there anything wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. That's just a part of everyday life. It tells us we should not set our affection on those things. We live, we can like life as we're living it, but what's the center of our heart? Okay? What is seek ye first the kingdom of God? You see? That's what it must be. He must have the preeminent place in our life. You know, sometimes we get into this either or thing. Well, if I'm going to set my affection on things above, then man, I got to hate things down here. No, that's not what the Bible says. And as a matter of fact, if we're going to be responsible Christians, we can't be a responsible Christian by not doing a good job, a normal job, a right job of living. Okay? you know, too many times we're all smiley, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Christian here at church. And then we get down to the giant you know, we were looking for that. That's what happened to that. That meat was on sale. Well, I'm sorry, we ran out. You what? You ran out? It's in the flyer. That's why I drove all the way down here, because it was in the flyer.
Come on.
That's not good.
No, sir.
That's not good. That isn't going to get you the meat if there's no meat out back. All it's going to do is rob your testimony. You say, well, they don't know who I am. You only think they don't.
That's right.
So many things. Something doesn't go now. Brother John there, he's on the, what is it over there at the city hall or town building? Or
councilman.
A councilman, okay. Now, they have things that come up. And you don't always like everything that takes place, do you, within the local government? And yet, you know, I wonder, no, don't answer, but I wonder if there's any people who claim to be Christians, or at least claim to be good church people, that have come in there through the years and ripped those councilmen up one side and down the other over something regarding their road or something in, you know. That's no good. What good is it? It just causes one to lose their testimony. And our testimony is worth more than any... Well, it's the principle of the thing. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. It's the principle of the thing of our testimony. Okay? Life will go on. Because when things don't go the way we'd like anyway, after we've complained and whined and whatever, they don't go the way we'd like. But life goes on. It didn't change, but life went on. But we've lost our testimony.
Yep.
We've lost our influence for Christ. We not only didn't get what we want, we don't have what we have. Think about it. We have a unique relationship. And according to chapter 3, verse 3, you're dead and your life is hid with Christ. Now, we are dead to sin. But listen to me, sin is not dead to us.
Yes, sir.
And that's why we're told to put off the old nature. Put off the old man. And and seek the new man. Notice in verse 3 it says you're dead with Christ. Your life is hid with Christ in God. A hiding place is a place of security. Now, Trevor there, you see. Now, I'm talking about you. Okay? Trevor's got something special. Special toy. Something that's his. And he doesn't want Zane playing with it. Because it's his. So what's he going to do? He's going to hide it. He's going to put it in a secure place that Zane can't find. Now, Zane's cocky, sure, well, he can find it. Okay? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard up there.
We're hid in Christ. It's a secure place. Yes, Ed?
Here's a good example ahead of me.
What's this?
Here's a good example of ahead of me.
Okay.
There's Ashley sitting here with her arm around her daughter, tucked into a coat. She's hid.
Yeah.
Protected. It says we are protected under the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
That's a good example.
Right. Right. Very true. And so hid with Christ. That's such an important, it's a place of security. Then lastly, in verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. We're unique in that we have the peace, as it says here, the peace of God to rule in our hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There's two kinds of peace, and I'm going to end with this. Turn, if you will, please, to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Now, the peace comes from God, but I want to show you about the peace that comes from God. I learned this many, many, many years ago. I don't know when or from who, but it's something that did stay with me. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's talking about salvation. But I want you to notice, it says we have peace. What's the next word? Okay? We have peace with God.
Amen.
Okay? We have peace with God. We were once enemies of God. And His wrath, because of our actions, was going to be poured out on us. But through our justification, we now have peace with God. Philippians chapter 4. We already read of this in Colossians 3:15, but I want to show it to you in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, where he says, and the peace, what's the next word? Of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace with God in Romans 5:1 has to do with our salvation. We have peace with God. But not everybody who has peace with God has the peace of God.
Good.
The peace of God comes, the whole of Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, pastor preached on this last on Sunday. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds. So you see, you can have peace with God. You can have salvation. You can know it. You can know you're hid with Christ. You're secure in Him. But if we are not yielding ourselves to the new nature, the new man that's within us, sin is not dead to us. And therefore it will tempt us. And we are to put off the old man And if we will yield ourselves to Christ in our life and in our Christian living, we can have the peace of God. Just remember that distinction. Peace with God and the peace of God. And praise God, we have both of them. Okay? Have both of them. All right. Now, prayer request. Do pray for Dale Morey. He had his surgery. And for a week, I think, Ruth Ann, is it a week that he has to keep it? At least a week. Okay. And he early on was told 6 to 8 weeks recovery with no work. And that obviously means no work. He isn't going to be able to go out and work. That's a concern to him because of no income. And so let's pray about that so that he can have the peace of God, okay, regarding that. Yes, John.
I saw Dale in the Navy today, and apparently Dale was going to be eligible for disability.
Oh, good. Good. Boy, that's great to hear. Yeah. And Dick Harbeck, still dealing with the sciatic pain, still waiting to hear from the cardiologist and other doctors involved regarding that pacemaker. And praise the Lord, God answer our prayer for Paul Gordon to get his van back. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hopefully it's still there. Well, we'll give you a ride home if it's not. April Succo, any update on her regarding the back and it not healing?
She had the pump that was in her back for drainage and such removed today.
Okay.
And she's getting around better.
Okay.
It feels right for healing because it's taken a long time.
Yes.
There's still a possibility of getting back again.
Yes. Okay. So April Succo, they took the pump that was in her back for drainage. They removed that. But she still needs much of our prayer for the complete healing of that. Let's keep praying for Chris Montgomery and the job situation. For Doug Wise, the emphysema and other issues that he's dealing with. And the matter of not smoking. I'm concerned that his many years of smoking may have done a number on his body as far as, you know, if he gets another infection and so on. Just even if he were to quit yesterday, he could still be dealing with a lot of issues. And then let's pray for Audie and the lower disc, bulging disc. I heard her telling Mrs. Hain tonight she was feeling better, doing better. That doesn't mean you can go back out and do everything before, okay? You still need to take it easy. Got that? Okay. I can tell by the way you're smiling, you've already heard this little message. Let's be praying for Chuck Barnes and the ministry up there in Maine. And then also, Joanne Tompkins is the missionary that we'll pray for tonight over there in the Gambia. All right, your prayer requests. Trevor. All right, Trevor wants us to be praying for his friend Eddie. And you'll hear him say little Eddie because his dad was big Eddie, okay? And often families make that distinction, well, you know, little Eddie, big Eddie. And so that's why he refers to him as little Eddie. Yes, he wants, Rayanne wants prayer for her papa. All right, very good. Chris.
Just pray for me and Jody.
All right, Chris wants prayer for him and Jody and the family. Very good. Other requests, Randy? Okay, all right, very good. Thank you. Let's remember that. John.
Ask prayer for our boys.
Amen.
John wants prayer for their sons. Very good. Josh.
I'm trying to get my
All right, he's been trying to get his grades up and having some success with that. That's good. Other thing? Encouragement?
Yeah.
Try and say something nice to her? Good. All right, very good. That's good. Girl at school that's always down and gloomy, and he tries to encourage her. All right, very good. Other requests? Caleb. Caleb wants prayer for his dad. All right, we'll do that. Other requests? We're going to go to prayer. Ruth Ann. Okay, for the DiPaolo's and Bob's tumor. His mother, by the way, is doing better. We had requested prayer, and she is doing better. All right, let's go to prayer groups. Katie has one. Yes, Katie. You want prayer for your mom? All right, we'll do that.